Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Morning already. Birthdays, prayer, great worship. This morning, though, I want to start off today. I want to give you guys a little bit of a warning for this message. And I'm going to tell you right now, we are about to head down a passage of Scripture in the Sermon on the Mount that it can be a little bit confusing. See, they're going to be extra loud today, aren't they? Did you hear that? Wow. So this passage of Scripture, if you guys have been following along during the Sermon on the Mount stuff, you kind of know where we're at. If you've read through it, it can be a little confusing. But remember that the week before last week was obviously our Easter celebration. The week before last, we talked about treasure, right? We talked about treasure, and more precisely, we talked about laying up treasure in heaven or here on earth and how that looks differently. We ended with Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You guys remember that? If you missed any of those, you can get on our website and listen to those. Now, we read that in Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if we skip forward to Matthew 6:24, which we're going to get to in a minute, we see Jesus tying treasure and money together with a warning. And if you read those two together, it totally makes sense. It flows so very good. However, between verse 21 and verse 24, we find something that seemingly doesn't quite fit in. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 6. We're going to be in 22 and 23 right now. So it says this: the eye is the lamp of the body. Now remember, he's talking about treasure, and he switches gears and he says the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? See, when I read this, and I read it in context, and I read it in order, to me it seems like Jesus just all of a sudden, he switched gears on us, right? He's talking about one thing, and he just totally switches, which isn't totally untypical of Jesus' teaching. So what is this all about here? Well, to put it simply, it is about where we choose to commit ourselves. Where will we commit ourselves? See, it has everything to do with our heart and to what degree we choose to commit our heart to God in all aspects of our life. Have you ever thought of it that way? Have you ever thought that when we walk through life and we're going through hard times and we're going through great times and times of poorness or times of prosperity, we have to think in terms of, hey, where is my heart right now? Where truly have I committed my heart? And when I read this and I think about it that way, I think, man, using this eye illustration here, man, this is brilliant. Jesus is talking about the eye, and he's talking about commitment to him. It's amazing, just like all his other teaching is. Think about just how much we rely upon our eyes for a second. I know that's kind of a silly question, but my goodness, have you ever just taken a few minutes and thought about what our eyes mean to us? I mean, how much we actually rely upon those eyes. If you've ever been in a completely dark room, or maybe not too long ago, I went to the eye doctor, and he decided to dilate my eyes. And this was, I made the appointment like at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he dilated my eyes, and I didn't know he was going to dilate my eyes. And for, you know, the next several hours, I mean, I can't see a computer screen. I'm driving home, or driving up to the church, and I can't see the speedometer. I mean, there was all this going on. My eyes were affected, and sometimes when it's so pitch dark you can't see anything, how does that make you feel? You bumble around in a room, right? You're tripping over things. We completely rely upon our eyes. Now, especially in regards from getting, say, from point A to point B. There's something, you know, you got to go from one spot to another. This morning you got up and you thought, hey, I'm going to go to church. I got to go from point A to point B. The main thing you relied upon was your eyes. See, if I want to drive to, say, Portland, Maine, I'm going to need to fix my eyes on Portland, Maine in order to get there. Would you not agree? I have to, boy, you guys got quiet. What's the deal? Come on, let's be loud here. If I'm going from Portland, Maine, from here, Helena, Montana, I do have to fix my eyes on Portland, Maine to get there. And I know what some of you guys are thinking right now. From Helena, Montana, it's impossible to see Portland, Maine, isn't it? You can't see Portland, Maine. Well, first off, I want you guys to understand that just because you can't see Portland, Maine from here does not mean Portland, Maine does not exist, right? We know that it exists. And second, that means that I need to fix my eyes not only on my final destination, which is Portland, Maine, but I also have to also focus in and fix my eyes on those things that will help me get to my ultimate destination. Things like maps. You know, those old paper maps that they used to have, the atlases, we need to be able to look at those. We need to be able to focus on road signs. We need to use our GPS. We all have smartphones that have GPS. And even landmarks, right? We need to be able to focus on landmarks. It helps us. I have to also understand that in trying to get to Portland, Maine from Helena, Montana, there might be detours in the way, such as, say, the Great Lakes. Right? The Great Lakes are in the way. So now, I'm not only focused on my ultimate destination, I'm focused on the road signs, I'm looking at my GPS, I'm understanding, hey, there's Great Lakes in the way, I'm going to have to detour probably to the south around those, and then I'll kind of come back on. But ultimately, I have my eyes firmly fixed upon Portland, Maine. That's my ultimate destination. And if I do that, I'm going to get there, right? I am going to get there. Such is our faith journey. We are to fix our eyes where? We're fixing our eyes upon God, right? Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. How can we see God, right? But just because we can't see God doesn't mean that he doesn't exist. Just like Portland, Maine exists, even though we can't see it. Because we see indications of God every place that we look. Healthy, faith-filled eyesight, it illuminates the reality and the presence of God all around us, doesn't it? If you are having the right eyesight, we are seeing God move. We are seeing God do things. We are seeing God act in our lives. See, when we fix our sights upon the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit, he becomes our map. He becomes our road signs. He becomes our GPS, and he becomes our landmark. However, we get ourselves in real danger when we allow our eyes to stray from our ultimate destination. Our path becomes cloudy. It becomes confused. This, in turn, causes our eyes to focus on things that we shouldn't be focusing on, things that distract us, things that can become real dangers in our life. Things that can completely divert us from our ultimate destination or our purpose or our relationship with Christ. Are we aware of that? Are we watching out for those things? Winston Churchill once said, "You will never reach your destination if you stop and throw stones at every dog that barks." When I first read that, I kind of giggled as well. Because there's a lot of barking dogs. They chase your cars. They do all that. If we get distracted with that, and then I thought in context of who said this, Winston Churchill, and what was going on when he said that, and he had a vision of where that country of England needed to go, and he's saying, man, we have an ultimate destination. We know where we need to go. We can't be distracted by all these little dogs that annoy us and bark at us. So don't let the dogs of this world distract you from the kingdom of God. If you don't remember anything else today, remember that. Don't let the dogs of this world distract you from the kingdom of God. We have a lot of hikers in here, right? Do we have anybody in here who likes to go out and hike? This is Montana. Raise your hand if you like to go out and hike. Good, because we're going to do hiking things this summer and all of those things. See, if I were to ask that in Kansas, hey, do we got a lot of hikers in here? They'd look at me all funny and they said, what's hiking? I said, what's where you go out in the mountains? And they'd say, what's mountains? Totally kidding. Kansas people aren't quite that far back, but they don't quite understand hiking like we do. When you're out hiking, right, you're out hiking and you're kind of maybe blazing a trail, or it's an old trail that just hasn't been taken care of very well. What happens when you come to a stream and there's no bridge crossing, or the bridge that does go over that stream has washed away or eroded and it's no longer there? When you have a stream crossing, what are you going to do? What are you going to look for? A what?
Get wet.
You can get wet, but who wants to walk with wet boots, right? Right, you can look for stones, but what if the stream's too wide for that, or too far down, and things like that? We look for another way across, right? A bridge, some sort of thing that has happened, like a tree, right? Trees fall, right? Sometimes people cut down trees on purpose, and that tree falls across the stream or the river, or I call it a creek, but I think you guys call it a crick. So you got a log across there. And that means that's a way across, right? You don't got to get your feet wet. You don't got to swim. You don't have to do any of those things. So we got a log that's fallen over the stream. And when you step out upon that log, you kind of balance, right? You got to balance ever so carefully. When you do that, where do you fix your eyes? At the end. Amy knows that because she was a gymnast all through high school and everything. She knows when she's on the balance beam, right? When you're on the balance beam, you don't look at your feet. You look at the end. It's the same thing when you're crossing a raging river that a tree has fallen over and it's full of moss and things like that, and you don't want to fall. You're going to fix your eyes on the end. You're going to place your eyes on a solid, unwavering point on the other side. And you do that simply because it keeps you steady and it keeps you on track. There's a distraction going on right now, but I am steady. I am on track. Should we pound on the floor just for fun? Let's do it. Pound on the floor.
Bounce like thunder.
Bounce like thunder. Yeah, that'll teach those kids, right? That'll teach them. So here we are, we're walking across the stream, we're focused on that solid point on the other side. We don't let things distract us, because we know if things distract us, that's where the problem comes. When we start looking anywhere else, we start to get dizzy rather quickly. We start to get unsure of ourselves, and the real danger of falling is now present in our lives, right? On our faith journey, really, the danger and the damage that you are in when you allow your eyes to stray from God, it has a direct effect on how far your heart will stray. So as we are walking through this life and we are focusing on God, when we begin to look down, when we begin to look in other places, there's a danger there. There is a real danger there. And that danger dictates really how far we may or may not stray. See, in this passage, it has this weird little part at the end. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? That is a crazy statement from Jesus. He is right on you, man. He's saying, have you strayed? How far have you strayed? If you've been distracted, how far have you been distracted? If you have allowed sin in your life, how much sin is allowed in your life? See, if you lose focus, if you have strayed, if you are pursuing the world and you are laying up earthly treasures, then to what extent have you done that? To what extent have you looked away? I think that's a fair question that we need to be asking in our lives, because it's a question that brings us back into right relationship with Jesus. Are your eyes on that ultimate destination, or has God become merely just a blur in your life? You know, there's all sorts of blurs in our life, isn't there? We live in a busy society We have so many things going on. It's just like, oh, Sunday came around and I just didn't have time. I was really busy the Friday and Saturday. I was just really tired, so I slept in. I skipped church. And then Monday, when I usually get up and pray, you know, I just found myself being busy. I kind of skipped that. And then sometimes I read my Bible at lunch, but the other people, they were going out to lunch. So I decided to go with them, and I decided to skip reading my Bible. There's all these little distractions, right? Just like when we're trying to get to Portland, Maine, and we hit those Great Lakes, do we just try to swim across the Great Lakes? Do we just say, hey, we're at the Great Lakes, there's a beach here. Hey, Chicago's on this side, there's a lot of shopping here. Why don't we just stay here instead? You're never going to make your ultimate destination if you allow those distractions to come into your life. That's right. Hey, I'm good with anybody being loud in service. Don't you take him out of here. Bring him up here. That's all good. So now, as we read verses 22 and 23, I think we begin to see a different perspective here. And we begin to see this in a more powerful way. Because before Jesus wants to go any further, he's saying, no, we got to focus on this. Where's your heart? Where's your eyes? Where have you focused yourself? Where are you headed? We can never lose sight of the importance of focus upon God in our lives, right? You can never lose sight of how important that is. Not only is our ultimate destination, right, but also in our day-to-day lives, in our minute-to-minute. Because we don't want to fall into that trap where we say, hey, no, I know where I'm going. I'm ultimately going to heaven. Nothing really matters today or tomorrow or next week or anything, because I know where I'm going. We know we have that ultimate destination, but again, every day we got to watch for roadblocks. We got to watch for pitfalls. We got to watch for Jesus saying, hey, come this way because it's much better. It's much safer this way. I've got something for you over here. All the while watching on the ultimate destination. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us on a day-to-day, minute-to-minute timeline in our life. Can you say you're there? Can you say right now, hey, that's how I'm living my life. That's where I am. See, our decisions, our relationships, our words, even our charity is based on where we have our eyes fixed ultimately and what we are paying attention to by a minute-to-minute timeline in our life. Okay, so now we come to Matthew 24, and now we can take on Matthew 24 with I think, greater perspective. Everybody say, greater perspective. Greater perspective. All right, Matthew 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. We're going to hold it right there for a second. So as I read that and I'm thinking about ultimate destination, fixing my eyes and knowing I want to get to this spot, I start thinking, hey, could we say that no one can fix their eye on two distinctive points and move in the direction of them both? Could we say that? Isn't that kind of like serving two masters? Now remember, if I want to get to Portland, Maine, but I try to fix my other eye on San Diego, California, I'm probably not going to get to either one of them, am I? There's a lot of similarities, right? They both have beaches, they both have probably great seafood and great restaurants, but I can't focus on them both and think that I'm going to get to either of them. I'm only going to get confused. I'm only going to get frustrated. I'm only going to get stuck where I am. And I have to make a choice here. I have to make a choice where I really want to go. Do I really want to go to Portland, Maine? Or do I maybe want to go to San Diego, California? I have to make that choice before I ever leave my driveway, because it's a big difference, right? It's a very big difference going east or going west. I have to make that choice. Like it or not, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we have a bunch of different choices in our life that we have to make. There's choices that we have to make. As followers of Christ, there is really no lazy route, right? it's like you can think about it. It's like, hey, it's the Jesus train. We just all jump on the Jesus train and then kick back and have a party, right? And he's taking control and he goes everywhere and we don't have to steer and we don't have to decide and we don't have to do it. That's not exactly how your faith walk really is. It just isn't. It's much more like, probably more like driving a motorcycle than anything, you know, even in a car. You can kind of, like Amy likes to drive with her knee and stuff, and it's not good, and you put on the cruise control, and now they got self-driving cars and things like that. But when you're on a motorcycle, you got to pay attention a whole lot more, right? You got to be very aware of everything that's going on, man. If there's an exit you got to take up here, you got to not only know the exit, you got to know the people around you, and is there a car too close to me, and is there one that's in my way up here? You got to really be aware of everything. Same with our faith journey. There's just no lazy routes. We have a point and a purpose and a part in our faith. We are moving in the right direction because we have our eyes upon Jesus, right? And every day there's detours and the enemy and life itself and our own flesh wants to mess things up. And we have to always be aware that we go around. We're aware of that. Oh, Jesus is saying, come over here. Okay, I'm going over there. Ultimately, I have my direction. Day to day, I know what's going on. But we can't be lazy about it. What if you get on the wrong train, right? What if you take it and say, man, I'm just on the Jesus train, but what if that's not really the Jesus train? You're headed in the wrong direction. Well, what do I know? I'm just in the back car and I'm just trusting that person to take me where I need to go. Don't trust that person. Jesus is your navigator. Jesus is your map maker. Jesus is your GPS and the Holy Spirit wants to guide you. See, there's just no room for apathy or lukewarm attitudes. I'm sorry, I don't know how else to say it. There's no room for that. This idea of being apathetic or lukewarm, man, the Bible addresses that, and it's not a pretty picture. It has to do with vomit and being spit out, and it's just not a pretty picture. I remember when Colton was young, man, we would never feed our kids hot dogs or anything. We would always eat really healthy, and we were visiting Amy's dad and stepmom in Colorado, and they had hot dogs. So we give him some hot dogs, and in the middle of the night, he threw them up, and there's nothing that smells worse than hot dogs thrown up. They were nasty, and it's like the pink and the red, all, you know what I'm talking about. It was disgusting, and whenever I read that verse, it's going to vomit you out of my mouth. I think about half-eaten hot dogs coming up and just the nasty, putrid smell, and that's Jesus describing lukewarm churches and lukewarm people. We can't have it. We can't be apathetic. We can't be lukewarm. Deciding to follow Jesus means deciding to fix your eyes upon him and fighting every day the temptations that come into our life that say, hey, look over here. Hey, look somewhere else. And those things that come into our life that say, those voices that say, hey, make your own way. Trailblaze. Get off the trail. Go over here. Do your own thing. And all those times we are tempted to fall to the temptation of sin or to try to serve two masters. It doesn't work. Luke 9:23 says this, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He's saying daily take up your cross, daily focus upon me, daily focus upon me because I will get you to your ultimate destination. And it's saying you need to die to yourself daily. You need to identify with my death so that you may also identify with my life. Now, Jesus ends Matthew 6:24 with really an appropriate statement about a major stronghold in many of our lives, right? And it simply says this, you cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and money. Everybody's heard that, right? You can't serve God and money. You know, two masters, can't serve two masters. Then we bring it down to you can't serve God and money. I want you guys to know that money itself is neither good nor bad, right? money. We're living in a time right now, oh boy, it's a time right now where we're trying to blame things and excuse people's behavior, right? And I'm just going to say it because I believe, you know, guns don't kill people. People kill people. You hear that all the time. Money is not the problem. It's how people use money that's either good or bad. What we choose to do with money, how we choose to handle money, and how we allow money to affect us, that is really determined on where we have decided to fix our eyes, right? If we have our eyes fixed in the right place, if our eyes are fixed with that ultimate destination, and Jesus is right there, and man, there he is. I don't know when I'm actually going to go and be with him, but on this journey, I know that's ultimately where I'm going. And day to day, I'm watching, and day to day, I'm listening. If we have that mindset, money's not going to be an issue in your life. The problems, the negativity that money brings is not going to be a problem. You know what's going to happen? Money's going to become a blessing in your life. You're going to be excited to give it away. You're going to be excited to use it for the right things. And God's going to bless you, and he's going to use you as a conduit, and it's just going to be amazing. But we have to have our eyes fixed in the right place. See, God intends us to make him the master of our money, right? God wants us to make him the master of our money, because if he is the master of our money, then how can money be our master, right? If he's our master and we give him everything, including our finances, then our finances aren't going to master us. Unfortunately, and too often, and I am talking about Christians here, we try to master our finances. No, I'm going to be in control of this. You know, I love God. God has shown me all these things. God has moved me in this direction. God is really speaking to me. But this part of my life over here, this financial part, I'm very successful. I have a lot of money. I may not have much money at all. But I need to control that. That's a trust issue, right? That's that deviation. We're on the log. We're crossing the stream. And here's finances, and it's saying, look at your feet. Look at your feet. Even worse, look at the water that's moving below you. It's going to mess you up, isn't it? It's going to cause you to fall. See, as a result, when we try to become the master of our finances, what always happens is we become the servant of our finances. Mastering money, it has never worked for anybody. It will never work, and it can never work. It just can't. You cannot serve God and money. Let me tell you this, money is never the answer. Money is never the answer. If you have problems, money is never the answer. It will never bring you joy. Money will never change your life for the better. When I was in college at Fort Collins, Colorado, at CSU, one of my good friends that I went to high school with and college with, I remember the day he walked into our house, and we had a pool table. Oh, it was a cool college house. And he walks in, and he looks a little weird, and he looks like he's all agitated and stuff. We're like, dude, Jason, his name was Jason. Dude, what's the matter? What's going on? And he just pulls out this piece of paper and he throws it down, and it says, like, it said 13 million something or another. He said, my dad just won the lotto. He said, we just won $13 million. And it's like, oh man, that's so cool. Woo, this is awesome. And things like that. Well, over the next few years, I witnessed a complete breakdown in a marriage. I witnessed somebody becoming incredibly miserable. His dad, I mean, he bought a truck. He bought this huge boat, and we would go and take it out and all this. I witnessed just this implosion of everything that they had. And what it trickled down to was he would wait each month for his check. Well, he's all alone now because the wife left because they couldn't get along because of money. And he would wait each month, and when he would get that check, he would go gamble it away. He would go to the casinos and blow that check on gambling. He had nothing else. Do you know why he had nothing else? Because money had become his master. And you can't serve two masters. And he was fully devoted to serving that master. And I'm telling you, that master, that was a taskmaster. That was not a good master. That was not a master that was breathing life into him. And he was miserable. And it was no good. Money is never the answer. We need to fix our eyes upon the only one who is the answer. The only one who can bring you joy. And the only one who can change your life for the better. And that is Jesus. And when we have our eyes focused upon Jesus, then everything else that comes into our life, be it prosperity or poorness, be it good nor bad, be it great times or be it tribulation, when we have our eyes focused upon Jesus, we can get through all of those. Some of the hardest times to get through are those mediocre times, right? Nothing really good going on, nothing really bad going on. It gets a little boring. It's wandering around the desert type thing. And we're not on a mountaintop. We're not in a valley low. When we're on a mountaintop, we're praising God at how great he is. When we're on a valley low, we're saying, God, where are you? It's this in-between time. That's where the real risk of apathy and becoming lukewarm creeps in. We have to have our eyes upon Jesus even in those times. Is it time for you guys to refocus? Anybody in here need to refocus a little bit? I think sometimes we do. We need to refocus. We kind of forget about that ultimate destination, and we kind of plug our ears and close our eyes to the things that the Holy Spirit is making aware to us on a daily basis. Opportunities to do all sorts of things, but also caution. Caution, don't go over here. Don't even look over here. Don't even allow your eyes to see this over here. Remember that old song, Be Careful, Little Eyes, What You See? You know that little thing? I don't even know it, but I know it's a song. We got to be careful about that. We have to be careful. We need to refix our eyes upon Jesus. I don't want hands up, but is there anybody in here that's kind of like, you know what? Oh, man, I do. I need to refix my eyes upon Jesus. I've gotten a little distracted. There's just been a lot going on. My school is busy. My work is busy. There's just a lot of things. Hey, man, my job's going great. I'm making more money than I ever have, and I'm starting to enjoy life. I'm starting to do the things that I've always wanted to do. Reevaluate that. Where are you laying up treasure? Do you have your eyes fixed upon the ultimate finish line where we are headed? Worship team, if you guys want to come up here, or I don't know, just Heather and Katyler, I don't know how you want to do it, but either way. Do you need to reestablish your eyes on that ultimate destination? It's not easy. See, the Sermon on the Mount was never meant to be easy. It was never meant to tickle ears. It was meant to throw a monkey wrench into everything that they thought they knew and to challenge them in ways that they've never been challenged before. And it's the same thing right now. In 2018, Jesus is challenging us with these teachings, with our eyesight. Where are we fixed? Where does money come into the equation? Where is the treasure that we have laid up? Is it time to proclaim one master in your life? And in the conflict and chaos that is pulling you in every direction, that is pulling you apart, that is confusing you, that is trying to distract you? These are honest questions. These are questions that I have to ask myself. Because at any time, I'm telling you, the craziest thing in my life is ministry. Right? It's being a pastor. Because if I'm not careful, being a pastor causes me to look elsewhere. Hey, there's needs over here. I need to make this trip to the hospital. I need to address this problem. I need to do all these things. And if I'm not careful, I can lose sight. Doesn't that sound crazy? But you're a pastor. All you do is talk to God all day long, right? You only work for an hour and a half every Sunday morning. Right? Right. Yes. Sandy knows that all too well, right? It's different. But what I'm saying is we all have challenges. We all have distractions that will creep into our lives, and we all have to be aware of that. We need to fix our eyes on Portland, Maine, and forget about San Diego. We need to have an understanding that there are roadblocks. There's blizzards. There's snowstorms in Montana. There's Great Lakes over in the middle part. And then even after that, there's traffic and there's road construction and all of those different things. On our faith journey, we have to understand we face those same things. Let's fix our eyes upon Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us on a day-to-day basis. Will you guys stand with me? I don't know, again, I don't know where each one of you are at. Even if I thought I knew where each one of you are at, I know enough. I'm wise enough to know that that's probably not exactly where you're at. And this morning is Jesus, and his words are challenging us about our eyes, our eyesight, where we fixed ourselves. I think the Holy Spirit is probably prompting questions inside of you. Simple little questions like, are you fixed on me? Ultimately, do you have your eyes fixed on me? And he's bringing things up and he's saying, yeah, but what about this? What about this direction? You know why he does that? You know why the Holy Spirit does that? Because he has an unmeasurable love for you. And he wants the best for each one of you. But just like I was saying, there's no apathy when it comes to Christianity, that there's no lukewarmness, that we have to make choices, that we have to put work into it. It means on mornings like this, we have to take a step toward God, right? He's there. He's sitting there, man. He's sitting there, man. I got everything you need. I can refocus, man. I can redo your eyesight so I can help you laser focus upon me. And I'm right here. But what I'm needing you to do is take a step. Take a step out. Take a step toward me. Meet me so that I can help you. Accept what I have for you. He speaks that way to all of us. And it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian all your life, or maybe you're not even a Christian yet, or you're brand new, or you're kind of a little bit or anything like that. God continues to speak to us in such a way to remind us of the ultimate destination, and that the Holy Spirit will speak into you every single day to keep you on that ultimate destination. So my question today for you is, do you need to refocus? Do you need to train your eyes back on Jesus? As we sing this last song, you're going to have a chance to do that. Maybe it's in your seats and you just get before God and you just say, okay, God, come and fix me. But I also believe in some of you, it's more than that. I believe some of you, God's saying, hey, you know, you've never stepped out in the aisle before. You've never went to the altar before. And I'm not saying you have to by any means. What I'm saying is if God's prompting you to do that, to pray with somebody, just to get on your knees before God, just to come and worship in these altars, I'm saying don't wait. Don't let that distraction of fear or feeling like people are going to judge you or wondering what people will think or any of that, don't let that distract you right now. Remember the river. Remember the log. It's moss covered. It's slippery. Kind of afraid. You could fall. You could slip off of there. Your eyes are kind of going around. Fix your eyes upon that firm, solid point on the other side, that point of Jesus, and he's going to take care of you. But that's you. You have to determine to do that. You know, there's a lot of things that we can't do. Salvation, we have no part in salvation. It's all about Jesus, and it's only about Jesus. But when he's knocking on that door, we got to get out of our chair. We got to go to the door. We got to unlock it. We got to grab the doorknob. We got to turn the doorknob. We got to open the door and experience Jesus. We all have a part. There are no lazy Christians. It doesn't exist. So I'm going to pray and we're going to sing. And if you feel like you need prayer, if you just feel like you need to worship, whatever it is, please do not walk away today saying, you know what, I should have. I knew I should have went up, but I didn't. Don't do that. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Fix your eyes upon Jesus this morning. Everybody bow your heads with me. Lord, we are a confusing people. Lord God, I can see how confusing we are. Lord God, I can't imagine what you look down and think. But Lord God, no matter what you think and no matter what we do, your love overwhelms all of those things. So Lord God, I'm asking this morning that Lord God, you give us a renewed eagerness to turn our eyes upon you, Lord God, to fix our eyes upon the Messiah, the King of this world, the Lord of angel armies. Lord God, that we fix our eyes upon you, that the detours, the bumps, the trials and tribulations, the good times and bad that we experience every day, Lord God, those don't define us. But what defines us is where our eyes are focused, that ultimate destination. And that is you, Jesus. That is you. Lord God, we are to be kingdom-minded. And Lord God, we are to focus upon heaven, but not without you and not apart from you. Because Lord God, if we focus upon you, that all comes. So Lord God, within our hearts today, Lord God, within our hearts, if there's things that we need to give to you, if there's things that we need to get rid of, if there's unresolved sin, Lord God, we commit it to you. We give it to you. We ask you, Lord, take it. Lord God, fix our eyes, Lord God. Give us that cataract surgery or whatever it may be. Lord God, the Gospels are full of stories about how you restored physical eyesight. Lord God, what we are asking for right now is that you restore spiritual eyesight. Lord God, so we can have that. And that causes us to walk through this life with a whole new level of security and trust and boldness. Lord God, we're walking in hope and love, and joy comes in there. And it's all the great attributes about you. That is what becomes, that infiltrates our life when we are focused upon you, Jesus. Not upon church, simply church, not upon religion, not upon any of those things, but Jesus, upon you. Lord God, help us to understand and help us to see anew today what we are to focus on. You are the stability. You are the rock that we build our life and our faith upon. Lord, we ask all of this in your name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.